Hello, I'm Jamie Gilsig. This is number 0527 of the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0527. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, Hollywood legend Ruta Lee is on. She's just putting the finishing touches on her memoir, which will be called Consider Your Ass Kissed. With her successes on both the big and small screen, she's thankful for the fans she's had over the years.
I felt so grateful for that, so grateful to have built a huge audience around the world, most of whom are dead by now, I'm so old, but that's hence the title of my book, Consider Your Ass Kissed. I want everybody that has ever paid one bit of attention to me and cared for me in any way to consider their ass kissed. It's like a blessing and a prayer from me, you know, and I'm grateful.
Soul singer Rahsaan Patterson, whose new album is Heroes and Gods. He's a former child star who became a successful recording artist.
Prior to getting that role on Kids Incorporated, I just sang in church. I didn't have aspirations of being a professional. I sang in a talent show at school because my sister encouraged me to. I sang in church because my grandmother made me. So I've been very supported in my talent and been nurtured as well by family members and, of course, later on, professionals in the industry as managers and people of that nature who support what I do.
And there's lots and lots of Stuff File news and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0527, was Jamie Gilsig, who is a filmmaker and he's also the editor and publisher of the Cornwall Free News. And you can check out their website at cornwallfreenews.com, or you can just go to thestufffile.com, go to the show number for this program, which you just heard Jamie mention, and you'll find the link there. See how it all comes full circle? Yes, yes indeed. And thank you very much, Jamie, for doing the guest late on this edition of the Stuff File program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Australian firefighters were in for a load of trouble after a fire at a cattle services building caused 100 vats of bull semen to blow. For 20 years, Yaram Herd Services has provided a range of services, including artificial insemination, calf dehorning, and ultrasound pregnancy testing for cattle and dairy farmers in Victoria, Australia, as well as semen for DIY operators. Loud explosions woke up neighbors to the facility around 3 a.m. Officials are investigating the cause of the blaze, which took 40 firefighters over 2 hours to rub out. According to authorities, heat from the fire caused the cryogenic cylinders storing the semen to pressurize and explode. Firefighters went into a defensive mode initially to protect themselves from the flying projectiles. The liquid inside the cylinders was rapidly expanding, and essentially the lids of the cryogenic cylinders were just popping off, and the top of the projectiles were being thrown from the building. The fire came at an inappropriate time for the rapidly approaching artificial insemination season. Didn't know there was such a thing. Wonder who the first draft choice is. At this time of year, there would have been substantial amounts of the high-priced semen inside the containers, which were owned by local farmers. Well, that must be utterly depressing for the farmers, but I guess they have to just face facts and let it go. I mean, who better than dairy farmers know that you can't cry over spilt milk or any other kind of substance for that matter? In other words, I think the band Queen said it best.
Easy come, easy go.
It's illegal to bicycle under the influence of alcohol in Florida. That's where this story starts, but it is by no means where it ends. A couple were stopped after a police officer saw them weaving their bicycles through traffic. When he smelled alcohol on their breath, he arrested them and stuck them in the back of his patrol car. But that cop underestimated the heightened intelligence that comes with 8 to 10 beers. Because the man had an escape plan in mind, and step one was getting naked. This bizarre episode unfolded at around 11:40 p.m. A Nassau County deputy stopped the couple after they were nearly struck by a car that they had cut off. Smelling booze, the deputy placed both under arrest. Things took a sordid turn when the arresting deputy noticed the couple had taken their clothes off and were starting to have sex in the back of his patrol car. And yes, the couple were handcuffed before they were put in the car. When deputies opened the car door to intervene, the naked man knocked a deputy to the ground and took off running into the night. Deputies said the woman, 35-year-old Megan Lynn Mondanero, grew violent as deputies moved her to a different vehicle. She was taken to the ground and later checked out at the hospital. The man, 31-year-old Aaron Seth Thomas, was later taken into custody after deputies caught up with him at a nearby Cold Stone Creamery. Leave it alone. Deputies said Thomas's blood alcohol content was 0.145, which is nearly twice the legal limit in Florida. Both Thomas and Mondanero were booked into the Nassau County Jail on several charges, including resisting with violence, unnatural and lascivious acts, exposure of sexual organs, and driving under the influence. Well, you know, getting naked and having sex in the back of a patrol car while handcuffed, no matter how you cut it, that shows an amazing amount of flexibility. Gotta give him points for that. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, the Sharonville, Ohio Police Department found a way to turn a resident's misconceptions about marijuana laws in Hamilton County into a teaching moment on September the 3rd. The department posted on its Facebook page a recording of a call received on August 25th from Mr. Marilyn Manson, and I'm doing air quotes here, who complained that two Sharonville cops stole my bleeping weed last night. The angry man insisted that anything under 100 grams is cool, but was, in fact, wrong. It is legal to possess up to 100 grams of marijuana in the city of Cincinnati, but that law does not cover the entire county, including Sharonville. Now, the officers who confiscated the weed were arresting the man's wife on a previous warrant, whom he identified as Marilyn Manson during the call, when they found the contraband in her purse. In a second call to police, the caller also complained that the officer had taken his takeout order from Red Lobster. It was a fresh meal of Cajun bleeping pasta, he ranted. A police supervisor later met with the man to clarify the laws about marijuana and explained what had happened to his dinner. Now, for your listening pleasure, heavily bleeped, I may add, here is that four-minute call. Yes, four-minute call in all of its glory. Minus the profanity, of course. Warning, if you try to start a drinking game and down a shot every time this guy swears, your liver will explode. Please note that the name of the caller has been removed to protect the idiot.
Hi, is this a sheriff?
This is Sergeant Mark Duddleson with the Sharonville Police. How can I help you?
All right, my name's Bell. I had two cops come here last night and steal my weed, and I want it back.
Okay, what address are you talking about?
Yeah, I was staying at a hotel last night at the time. My wife had some problem. They had to call them, and my wife had my weed in their purse, and the motherfucking cops took it. It was only like 4 grams, but it was really good weed. It was only like 4 grams, but it was like, you know, prestige weed. And the motherfuckers took it. And from what I know, 100 grams is cool, right? Or am I wrong?
You are wrong.
I'm wrong.
What do you mean by that? Do you think it's cool? Where did you get that information?
What are you talking about? 100 grams is legal. Am I wrong?
No, it's not.
What county is this?
This is Hamilton County.
Hamilton County, 100 grams is legal.
It's not. I'm just here to tell you that it's not.
What do you mean it's not, dude? Where you been the past 2 months?
Okay.
2 months ago, it got passed 100 grams. You guys don't take it. No ticket. I know I'm right here, dude. Don't try to talk to me like I'm dumb.
Okay, Matthew,
I'm right here.
If you'd like to come down and file a complaint against these officers, you can do it in person.
No, bullshit. I want my weed back. It was only 4 grams, and it happened at like 2:30 last night. Did those motherfuckers turn in any weed? Did they say any weed? I guarantee you, they put it right in their fucking pocket.
Okay, well,
yo, man, I'll take this as far as you want to go. If you think you're gonna fuck me around with this bullshit, dude, you're wrong. I'm just gonna go over your head. I want my motherfucking weed back. They didn't turn it in, did they? Did any cops turn in any weed last night around 2:33 a.m.? I guarantee you they didn't. They stole my f***ing weed. It was only 4 grams. And I'm allowed to have up to 100 grams. I know the law. I know my f***ing rights.
Okay.
You know, and if you're not going to help me out, I'm going to go over your f***ing head.
Can you stop talking for a second? Okay.
What?
What hotel were you at?
I don't know. Some hotel in Sharonville. But I woke up in the morning, I asked my wife where my motherfucking weed was, and she said the fucking cops came and took it. It was
okay.
Only 4 grams, but it was good weed.
So the,
and those
so
motherfuckers stole it.
So the police officers took it from your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my wife said to them, she said to them, no, 100 grams is legal. And they said, ugh, and they kind of laughed, you know, tell it to the judge kind of bullshit.
Okay, what's your wife's name?
Hey, I'm not trying to get all this information out, man. I just
Why
want
not?
My feedback.
You called me. You are complaining.
I know,
that
dude, but I know how y'all work, and I feel like you're just trying to trap me right now. And I'm not falling into that game, man. All I want is my motherfucking feedback. Yo, can you at least answer me a question? Did them two cops that were in Sheriff's last night, did they turn in any weed?
What's your wife's name?
Marilyn Manson is my wife's name.
Okay,
but anyway, back to my point and why I called you for your help.
Well,
where's
man,
my
I'm trying
weed?
To get you help.
Did any Sharonville cops turn in any weed last night?
Hey, how do you think it's possible that you call me and be completely unreasonable, and then I can't have a conversation with you and you
Sir,
expect any kind
I'm
of result?
I'm not trying to be unreasonable to you.
Okay, what's your wife's name?
Answer me the simple question.
What's your wife's
name?
Did
any Sharonville cops turn in any weed last night? They didn't. They took my weed and they stuck it in their pockets.
What's your wife's
name? My wife said it was some young guy and some bald fat that came here and took it. You know, they didn't give me no ticket. You know, if it's illegal, you know, they said they would tell it to the judge kind of bullshit. You know, where's my weed ticket then, if it's not legal? They took my Yeah, but anyway, I can tell this is a losing situation. I just want you to look into it. Last night, 2:30, there were two cops here that stole my weed. You know, and that's it. You have a good evening, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Poor guy. Out of weed, out of munchies, out of his mind. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? Actress Ruta Lee is a Hollywood legend and an icon. She has had a career that has spanned generations and worked with such leading men as Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds, James Garner, Fred Astaire, Frank Sinatra, and many, many more. Ruta is currently shopping her memoirs around to publishers. The title is a great one. It's called Consider Your Ass Kissed. Ruta joins us on the line right now from California. Hi, Ruta.
And a very good afternoon, I guess, for you. Good morning for me. How nice to be speaking with you, Peter. And thank you for sharing your lovely audience in Montreal and further out with me. Because, as you know, I was born in Montreal
yes.
in Children's Hospital, for heaven's sake.
Wow. You left about, I guess you were around six?
A little older, like 10-ish, more 10-ish, or less.
Okay.
And we came to Hollywood. My mother had always thought, and you have to understand that my mother was Lithuanian-born, bred, married, my dad too, and poor families hell, she had to carry her shoes to church because they had to be passed down to the next girl in the family. And so she was the furthest thing from a showbiz mother, and yet she felt that I was Lithuania's answer to Shirley Temple. And so somehow through heavy, heavy prayers to the dear Lord, they got visas to come to the United States when they were tough to get in the late 40s after the war. And we wound up in Hollywood. My mom didn't know anything about theater, but she knew about the movies and Shirley Temple. And son of a gun, if her prayers didn't get answered. And she was so happy that I was semi-successful in our business. You know, 60 years worth of working in the business that I love and that wound up paying me for some of the work I did, which is very nice.
Well, more than semi-successful. And the reason why I bring that up is one of the things, I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And
oh, you're a baby.
You couldn't turn on your television, and there were only three networks at the time. You couldn't turn on your television without seeing you guest starring on something. I remember as a kid watching you on a television show, and I'm in the room with one of my sisters, and she looks up, and you know, the opening montage of the show usually mentions who the guest stars are, and she sees your face, and she goes, wait a minute, didn't we just see her in this other show? And I turned to my sister, and I sang the Sara Lee commercial using your name. I said, everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Ruta Lee.
Oh, that is so sweet of you. Thank you. Gee, I think I might incorporate that. That's wonderful. Well, say hello to your sister for me, will you?
Will do. One of the things, again, you were such a success, as I mentioned, guest starring on so many shows. It seems like you were never out of work during those period of years. You seem to be the go-to gal for every type of part because you also had an amazing range. You because you were doing so many guest starring parts, you got to play different parts.
That was the beauty of being able to do work in a lot of different studios, because somehow the casting department or the producers at one studio saw you one way, and then all of a sudden over at Warner Brothers they looked at you differently. You know, one place I was a high society girl, another place a poor mother with starving children, another place a drug-addicted hooker, you know. And it was such fun to have all those parts to play. It was also kind of stupid of me in some ways, because I turned down a contract to become a studio player at Warner Brothers because I did a lot of work for the brothers of Warner, as we put it. I did Mavericks and 77 Sunset Strips and Hawaiian Eye and everything that they did. And they wanted to put me under contract. Well, contract players were getting a fast, I don't know, $300 or $350 a week, whereas I was getting the top of each guest star thing, which was a big, like, $750 a week. And I said, you know, people, thank you for the offer, but you're paying me the top dollar to guest star probably twice a month, you know, on this show or on that show. And so I'm making more money not being under contract than I am being under contract. Well, that was a big mistake. Because, well, not really big because it worked out fine, but, you know, when you're under contract to a studio, this was the days of Troy Donahue and Connie Stevens and, you know, all the young people like that, you have a big publicity machine behind you. You have studio wardrobe behind you. You got lessons, you know, in dancing or diction or whatever they felt you needed work on. And but the PR department, the public relations department, what that was what made young stars, you know, into kind of lasting stars. And I didn't have that machine behind me. I had to, you know, get publicity on my own. And thank God, and I do thank God, I provided, you know, for most of it all of my life, and I'm very grateful. But I still kind of think, might have been fun.
You know, I've had the opportunity, and they always say the grass is always greener on the other side. I've had the opportunity to talk to some people who went through the system that you're describing, being part of the studio system, and they weren't necessarily fond of it. I remember talking to Sharon Gless, who was the last person under the contract system. I remember years ago talking to Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., same thing. They weren't fans of the studio system that they were part of.
Well, the problem is then you are beholden, and you do whatever they tell you you're going to do. You know, if you kick up your heels, then you're out of work, and you're not working at all. And it ties you up so other studios can't use you because they still have you. But I don't know, you know, because each person has had to provide some sort of PR work for themselves, public relations stuff. And that's not the easiest thing in the world when you want good stuff, you know, not scandalous material. Who needs that? Although that's what sells very quickly. But that to me is the hard part of the business, is providing yourself with the means of getting your name out there so that people know you. Of course, I did enough television that I think I have to say thank you very, very much to the game shows and the talk shows, because they introduced me not as a character that I was playing, but as Ruta Lee herself. And it got me an opportunity to explain how the name Ruta came to be my name, and people got to know me personally. And when I did theater, which I did a lot of, people would come backstage and say, "Hey, Ruta Lee, you want to come to my house for dinner? You know, because we're going to have people over on Sunday. Want to come?" And isn't that nice that folks sort of accepted me as a friend and invited me into their homes, whether it was to watch me on the small box through their toes at night on The Tonight Show, or whether it was a drama during the day, whether it was Maverick or Lineup or whatever I was doing. I felt so grateful for that, so grateful to have built a huge audience around the world, most of whom are dead by now. I'm so old. But that's hence the title of my book, Consider Your Ass Kissed. I want everybody that has ever paid one bit of attention to me and cared for me in any way to consider their ass kissed. It's like a blessing and a prayer from me, you know, and I'm grateful.
I think one of the reasons for the popularity that you've had over the years, when you talk about people getting a chance to see the real Ruta Lee on game shows and talk shows, is the fact that you had a glamorous look to yourself, yet you seem to be a person who was very approachable. Sometimes glamour seems to be someone who was put on a pedestal and you don't want to touch it, it will crack. But you were glamorous yet real.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's a lovely, lovely compliment and a wonderful observation. I am a big believer in, if you're in the business, present the best side of you that you can to your public, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's in a public appearance on a stage, whether it's in the doctor's office, whatever it is, give people the best that you have to give. We're not always in the mood to do that, but I think it's demanded. And I get very distressed when I see the young stars of today schlepping around in, you know, torn jeans and looking scruffy and dirty and all of that. I don't think that's the real me necessarily, and I don't think that's what everybody wants to see. Debbie Reynolds, who of course I miss terribly, was my best friend, and she and I would do a lot of charitable works together and play a lot together, and she always said, you know, neither of us is a great beauty, but we're cute, and we've got to do the best we can with what we've got. And so, Lord knows, I sort of live by Debbie's credo. Do the best with what you've got.
We're talking with legendary Hollywood actress Ruta Lee, who has just finished writing her book entitled Consider Your Ass Kissed. There's so much more to talk about with Ruta. So We'll just take a quick break and continue to chat with her on the other side. You're listening to The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Stay tuned.
The Stuff File Program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You could join today and end whenever you'd like. But the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram. Choosy mothers choose the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder. If your mother didn't choose it for you, well, I guess she just doesn't love you.
And the Stuff File Program is heard everywhere, including on Stitcher and TuneIn. It can also be heard via Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Just click on the Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify buttons located on the website at thestufffile.com. And whichever platform you listen to the program on, please feel free to leave a review of the show on their site. It would be greatly appreciated. We're talking with legendary Hollywood actress Ruta Lee. Her upcoming memoir is entitled Consider Your Ass Kissed. Ruta, you mentioned before the break your best friend Debbie Reynolds and the fact that you did a lot of charity work with her. You worked with her on the Thalians. You were co-founders of that organization. Tell us about the Thalians and how they came to be.
You bet. Oh, I'm so happy you asked. The Thalians is a group that was started back in 1955 by a group of young Hollywood types, actors, dancers, singers, lawyers, agents, and they shopped around. They said, you know, we get together and we laugh and scratch and we sing around the piano and we do jokes for each other. Why don't we sort of get together and have people come and buy tickets and we'll raise dollars for a charity? Well, they sent out, all of a sudden I lost her name, Mamie Van Dorn and Jane Mansfield, the two large, beautifully breasted ladies, to shop around for what was available. And they came back and they said, well, all the good diseases have been taken. So we found a doctor who deals with emotionally disturbed children at Mount Sinai, and he says that a mentally or emotionally disturbed child is like a rotten apple in a barrel. It will infect the whole barrel or the whole community if it isn't taken care of. So the Thalians started taking care of mentally and emotionally disturbed children. 18 years later, we built the first building on the grounds of what became the Cedars-Sinai campus here in Los Angeles, which is an internationally known health institute, and we built the Thalians Community Mental Health Center. And we went from pediatric to geriatric care in our beautiful four-story clinic, and it was a marvel. And we did it all, and I was so proud of dumb, silly actors who were always accused of being hard-drinking, pot-smoking idiots that are sex-minded and don't do anything else. You know, that's the credit that showbiz people were given. And we built this and we thrived on it. Then we changed our focus 50 years later to the returning veteran, the young men and women who put their lives on the line every day, and yet they come home and they fall through the cracks. We don't take the kind of care of them. And so we joined up with UCLA's Operation Mend. They heal the broken bodies. And we at Thalians attempt to heal the broken mind, spirit, and heart of these gorgeous young people that we owe a great deal to.
Amazing work. Again, with your career, one of your first biggest roles was it Seven Brides for Seven Sisters? Seven Brothers. Yeah.
My first job in the movies. And none of us realized how fabulous it was. And the first time that I came back to Montreal after I had done Seven Brides, was on the publicity tour. I had all of Western Canada, and I had all of the United, I got Western United States and all of Canada. And Montreal was my last stop on the tour. And it was such a thrill to come back home as a fledgling movie star. You know, that was kind of wonderful. And to revisit my school and where I lived in Verdun. And, of course, I've been back many times since. But, oh, Lord, that was quite an experience. And, I mean, I got keys to the city from the mayor, and I thought I was a pretty big deal. And it's a good thing that I didn't start believing my own publicity, because you wouldn't be talking to me. I'd be off on some cloud.
Now, one of the other things you did, and there's so many things that you did, but you touched on it earlier, and the fact is that you were on game shows. You're one of the first, if not the first, female game show host.
Yes, and of course, my good buddy, that I did 2 years of High Rollers with, is the one and only Canadian Alex Trebek, and who is in not very good shape right now. God bless him. It was very interesting because I was just with him at his birthday party not long ago, and we were sitting having dinner and talking about the remarkable strides that he was making, because pancreatic cancer is not one of the winning cancers, you know?
Yes.
And he was doing remarkably well. And he said, while he was never a religious sort, of course he understood that there was a maker that was bigger than he, but he felt that he owed every ounce of strength that he was getting to get through any of this. It was due to the prayers that were coming his way from millions of fans.
Yes. What was it like for you, again, being a groundbreaker in being a host on a show like that?
Well, it was easy. It was the easiest work I ever did, and I'm amazed that I got a check at the end of the week. Because if there's one thing I love, it's people, and I am a gregarious person, have been since I'm a child. And I love people, and I discovered years ago that it was so easy to give some stranger on an elevator or at a bus stop or in the drugstore a smile and maybe ask a question or comment on how cute their hairdo was or the shirt was he was wearing, that it was very, very sweet. And it's so easy to do, to bring a smile to someone's face. And I sort of feel like anytime you can do that, people, anytime you can reach out, even if it is just a smile, and touch someone's life for 1 second, it's a blessing.
Absolutely. With all that you've done in your career, is there anything you haven't done that you'd like to do?
You bet your sweet darling ass that I said consider kissed. I would love to have done a stint on Broadway. I don't know that I'd want to do a full year, because it's very, very hard work. I love theater. There is nothing quite the same as hearing an audience breathe, respond, cry, laugh, applaud, especially at the end, and give you a standing ovation. There's nothing quite the same as that, and I've never done a Broadway show, and I would like that.
Although you have done stage, and I'm just curious.
A lot.
I'm just curious to know. I know you did the unsinkable Molly Brown on stage, and of course your best friend Debbie Reynolds played the role in the movie. Did you and Debbie discuss the idea that you were doing Molly Brown?
No. Because that was back in, let me think, 64, I think. And no, we didn't. Amazingly enough, I was just becoming involved with the Thalians in the early 60s. And we weren't as close as we became as we went along, you know. But I was playing it when it opened. I first played it in Fort Worth, Texas. And it opened the week that I was... Her movie opened the same week that I was opening in Molly Brown. And I eventually told Debbie, and she gave me one of those, "Oh, really?" Meredith Wilson, who wrote Molly Brown, came to see us, and it was a big to-do to have the author and music writer of Molly Brown there. And he announced to the press that of all the Molly Browns, he liked me the best, and if I had been playing it on Broadway, it would still be running.
Wow.
What a quote. What a compliment. Oh, I sailed through theater for the next 5 years on that compliment.
I bet you didn't get any flowers from Tammy Grimes after that.
Oh, I did not. And I saw her play it. And amazingly enough, maybe it was an off day for her, but she had that strange accent. I don't know what the hell it was, whether it was a New England or something kind of weird accent that was not exactly Western, not Colorado Western, you know. And I had a hard time kind of grasping what she was saying. And I thought, I don't know that I like this show. Well, of course, now it's my very favorite, but I've never worked so hard in my life. Wow, that's a tough show to do. Mm. And Debbie deserved every bit of acclaim she got for it. You know, she wasn't the first choice for it.
Yes, yes.
That's the surprising thing. And I'm so pleased for her that she was nominated and everything else, and it's been her theme ever since, you know.
Well, we're just about out of time. As a matter of fact, we've gone over.
Oh no,
we've gone over time. But your book, which you're planning on, which you're shopping around now to publishers, is called "Consider Your Ass Kissed." When the book comes out, will you come back and talk with us?
Promise me that I can. I would love to, and I'd love to come to Montreal and meet you in person and have a glass or two of wine. I always say if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And say hello to your audience from your Montreal station.
Thank you very much, Ruta. Thank you very much for being on the program with us.
God bless you. God bless your listeners. And God bless Canada and God bless America.
Hollywood legend Ruta Lee. We will definitely have her back on the show when her book comes out. That book will be titled Consider Your Ass Kissed. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check the show number for this program, which is show number 0527, and you'll find the link to Ruta's website. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
Got something for the mailbag? Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com. Or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Often I mention my book, Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. I also often mention that I'd like you to become a patron of the Stuff File program via Patreon.com. Well, this is my opportunity to combine both of those pleas to you. You've heard me say on many occasions about the myriad of celebrities I've had the chance to talk to that are contained in my book, which is published by Bear Manor Media. You've also heard me mention that some of the celebrities in my book, and many others, can be heard on our page at Patreon.com. Well, if you've been on the fence about joining Patreon, let me try to pull you over to our side. By becoming a patron, you help to make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. And if you do become a regular patron, as a Patreon reward, I'll share with you an electronic version of my book for your e-reader. So join Patreon and claim your copy of Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. Sign up today at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
This is your safe haven from the hard news of the day. The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's radio for your happy place.
And still to come in the program, we'll talk to musical artist Rahsaan Patterson. Plus, we will indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way. And much more Stuff File news right here on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get back to the stuff. Clayton Stevens, the owner of the Starlight Convenience Store and Asian Market in Medicine Hat, Alberta, said a man stepped up to the counter to purchase a can of Red Bull with a credit card. The man had already opened the can, but the charge wouldn't go through. Said Stevens, when he went to pay, unfortunately, it came up on the slip that it was a stolen credit card. The credit card machine said to call police, which was pretty easy to do, because a uniformed police officer was right behind the man. It was no coincidence. Police had received a report of a suspicious person, and Constable Ian Shrivener had spotted the suspect and followed him into the store. When Stevens pointed out the credit card machine's response to the constable, Shrivener stepped forward and handcuffed the man. The suspect, who was not identified, was charged with fraud and possession of stolen property. And considering the fact that he went through all of this process with a cop standing right behind him, he should also be charged with tunnel vision. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, in the last little while, we have had what seems to be a plethora of stories that deal with people who are unhappy with their service when it comes to fast food restaurants. I myself have mentioned that nothing can go colder than McDonald's french fries, and when that happens, I calmly walk back to the counter and ask for a new batch. I don't feel the need to shout at somebody, and I certainly don't feel the need to get violent over it. But sadly, calm sanity seems to be in short supply these days. Case in point, Jordan Dunn and Jawan Davis, both 20, pulled up to a drive-through window at a McDonald's in Palm Coast, Florida, with a complaint. Said an employee who had to call the police, "They pulled their guns on me, saying that their food was cold and demanded it be remade." One of the men said, "I do not play about my food." While the men waited, thinking their food was being remade, Flagler County Sheriff's deputies arrived and arrested them. "They're going to eat jail food instead," said Sheriff Rick Staley. "They can always make a complaint, but it probably won't get any warmer." Yeah, that's true, especially since they're spending time in the cooler. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Apparently not. Anyway, let's get to our last guest on this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? Soul singer Rahsaan Patterson just recently released his sixth studio album called Heroes and Gods, and his single, Don't You Know That, has hit number one on the official indie soul chart. So he's gone from successful child star to successful singer rather easily. Before we have him on the line in just a matter of moments, let's hear a little bit of his single, Don't You Know That.
Got your love. You need to look no further. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? After my love, you'll never need another. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? I don't make no promises I can't keep, and I promise myself that don't you know that? Don't you know that? I'm always down for anything that you say. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? I used to doubt everyone that I'd meet. I swore that nobody could knock me off my feet. But you are the one that makes my heart's bell ring.
was just a little bit of the number one song on the Indie Soul chart, Don't You Know That, by Rahsaan Patterson, from the album Heroes and Gods. Rahsaan joins us on the line right now from Los Angeles. Hi, Rahsaan.
How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being a guest on the program with us. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, this is your sixth album, but you took a while getting this one out from your fifth album. Why the long wait?
Well, the wait has all to do with just being able to live life and have something to communicate authentically when I make a return to the recording studio and releasing music for people. This album is actually my seventh studio album. For some reason, a lot of people don't include holiday albums into the lineup of released material, but I've always wondered why they don't, considering it's recorded in the studio and it's released officially. So this makes my seventh album. And it's just always important for me to be able to take on what life throws at you and allow myself the time to grow from my life experiences, the pains, the joys, and all of those things.
As you say, there's that long period of time and you want to build up life experiences between albums. With each album, does each one become more and more personal than the previous one?
I would have to say yes, in that because of the newfound experiences and growth spurts that are a result of that, for me, it's necessary to be transparent in my work. I've always gravitated towards artists and performers who are communicating a truth and a depth of who they are and a transparency. And that's not to say that I don't relate to or understand other performers that kind of mask and just potentially just perform songs for you and do great dances and have great shows with explosions and pyrotechnics and all that kind of stuff. But my favorites have always been those who I've gotten an in-depth view of who they are, what they think, how they feel about things, and my perspective gets broadened as a result of my admiration for those types of artists.
I mentioned in the introduction you were a child star. You starred in Kids Incorporated along with Fergie. You were discovered by Chip Fields, who was the mom of actress Kim Fields, who was Tootie in The Facts of Life. Were you a singer who liked to act, or were you an actor who liked to sing?
Well, prior to getting that role on Kids Incorporated, I just sang in church. I didn't have aspirations of being a professional. I sang in a talent show at school because my sister encouraged me to. I sang in church because my grandmother made me. So I've been very supported in my talent and been nurtured as well by family members and, of course, later on, professionals in the industry as managers and people of that nature who support what I do. But again, I never aspired to do it. But once I found myself professional and waking up every day at 6 a.m. to be at work at 7 and getting off work at 6 p.m. at 10 years old, I just went with it. And it was by the time I was 12, 2 years after being on Kids Incorporated, that I realized I could make this profession and that it could be a career, and that singing and music and the arts were something that brought joy to my life and sustained my life. So it would probably be in my best interest to do that as a career.
The number one single on your album, Don't You Know That, is a remake of one that was done by Luther Vandross. What made you pick that particular song, especially knowing the amazing talent that Luther was and the fact that he had already recorded it?
Well, I am originally from the Bronx, New York, as he was. He also did jingles and was behind the scenes as a songwriter, background singer, very similar to the beginning of my recording career. I chose to take that route to learn and observe the industry and, you know, to build my chops up. And he was an exquisite singer and songwriter, and he was very special and unique. And his contribution to music has been very well respected, but I don't necessarily think that he has gotten the proper recognition for who he actually was and what he stood for at the time of his career. But I wanted to honor him, and I wanted to honor not only him as an artist, but as a human being, as a spirit that was very gentle and very much different from the other male artists of his day that were hyper-masculine and very much about their female audiences and gearing their music and their energy towards that. Luther wasn't that. He wrote beautiful love songs that everyone could relate to, and I relate to that. So I just wanted to tribute him in that way.
Well, you talk about masculinity, and one of the things we should mention is the fact that you are an out gay soul singer. And there was a time when if you were to say out gay soul singer, that would sound like an oxymoron. Because let's be honest, the black community in the past has not exactly been embracing alternative, or what people would refer to as alternative lifestyles.
I think there's a tendency to embrace it in that, for the black community in particular, you know, we grow up with alternative lifestyles and people in our families who are gay and such in our families. We grew up with them in our neighborhoods. We grew up in our neighborhoods seeing trans people all the time. We grew up in our churches within close proximity to, you know, those people. And for whatever reason, it just has not been necessarily fully accepted and promoted in the realm of urban music. There has absolutely been a change in terms of pop culture and mainstream, where we do have much more visibility and support of the trans community and the gay community, no doubt. But the area of the urban black R&B music realm is a very different story, and one that I've had to deal with for the majority of my recording career.
Do you miss the days of when you were acting, or is music something that is all-encompassing for you right now and that's what you want to do? Or can you find time to do a little bit of both?
I would love to venture back into acting. I actually, 4 years ago, was cast in a musical here in Los Angeles that was based on the life of a music exec back in the 50s who made a huge contribution to music and worked with people like Elvis and various artists of the day. And essentially he was Berry Gordy before Berry Gordy was Berry Gordy, you know, as far as Motown and the impact that he made with that label. This man was doing that in Los Angeles. So yeah, I would like to continue to act and move back into that. Music has been the main source of inspiration for me for many years. And over the course of the last few years, I have found myself finding other areas of the arts to flex my muscles in. And that would also be photography and directing, being behind the camera and telling stories that way.
How about Rahsaan Patterson on Broadway?
Well, you know, that would be awesome too. I have for many years envisioned one-man show of some sort, just basically telling my life story up to this point. It's been rather interesting and deep. but yeah, I would love to do more musical theater and perhaps Broadway also. That would be awesome.
The new album is Heroes and Gods. As you correctly stated, it's not the sixth, it's your seventh studio album. Rahsaan, I thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Soul singer Rahsaan Patterson. Again, his new album is called Heroes and Gods. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check the show number for this program, which is show number 0527, and you'll find the link to Rahsaan's website, which contains information on his upcoming shows and where you can get his music. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. I've got one more Stuff File news story that I want to share with you before we get to the climax of this week's show, so let's get right to it, shall we? Authorities in Nebraska said firefighters responded to the third floor of an apartment building to put out a blaze caused by a woman burning love letters from a former lover. The Lincoln Police Department said police and firefighters responded to an apartment complex in Lincoln on a report of flames on the third floor. Police said there were no injuries, but the fire caused about $4,000 worth of damage. The apartment's resident, a 19-year-old woman, told police she had been burning love letters from an ex and fell asleep with the smoldering remains of the notes on the carpet. The woman said she woke up to the smoke detectors in her home sounding. She was cited for negligent burning. Hey, lady, this is the 21st century. Burning letters is so passé. Not to mention it's not good for the environment. Get with the program. Use a shredder. And boys and girls, it's time for that moment you've all been waiting for. It's time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
54-year-old Gary Lamb made the job of the Toronto Police Service easier on August 23rd when he allegedly made a photocopy of his face during a break-in to a commercial property. Police said the suspect ate some food items and created the picture of his face, which he left behind. Police eventually arrested Lamb, who was already in custody for an unrelated incident, and charged him with breaking and entering and failing to comply with probation. Now, why, oh why, would you break into a commercial establishment, make a photocopy of your face, and leave it at the scene of the crime? One reason, and one reason only: you're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0527. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0527. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder. And don't forget to check us out on patreon.com, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, GDPR Revolution 99, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on Apple or Google Podcasts, streaming on Spotify or Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. The Stuff File reminds you never try to drown your sorrows. They'll just learn to swim anyway.